Blog Talk Radio.
Let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you won again,
that you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, prove the doubters wrong. Every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Everybody need them to fight some battles in here. This is what I need you to do, Lord. I can't do it. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank you.
You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me up so many times.
You have won again.
Over and over and over again. Never lost a patient.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it. But oh,
you pulled me through.
Hallelujah, thine a glory. Hallelujah.
Welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. My name is Stacy Lunsford, affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. We have a very special topic tonight for Bible study, and our foundational scripture is found in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. And then I'm going to ask you to please bookmark Esther, the third chapter. So we're going to read Philippians, the third chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. And then we're going to go to the book of Esther, the third chapter. Our topic tonight is who let the dogs out. Play a little excerpt of that song after I pray. The purpose of tonight's Bible study is to help us understand the warning that the Apostle Paul gives us in Philippians, the third chapter, when he tells us to beware of dogs. As an example and demonstration, I'm going to share the characteristics of a dog from a biblical perspective with the book of Esther, the third chapter of Esther. When this Bible study is over, I want you to take notes. I want you to be comfortable. It's very open, very relaxed atmosphere to learn and to grow together. And ultimately, this teaches to help us develop character, but it's also to learn how to recognize good character versus bad character, because that will help us to beware of the dogs. And at this time, I'm going to open up in prayer, and I pray that those that have not had an opportunity to dial in yet will arrive safely, and those that are listening via the internet, thank you so much for joining us. And we're just going to open up with a word of prayer. And my prayer, everything that I do when it's Bible study is totally different from when I have the talk show. So I like for all of my topics and my prayers to complement one another. So this particular prayer is asking God to help us to develop moral character position. And you'll understand that once we get into the Bible study and start breaking down what a dog is from a biblical perspective and what a dog does. And many people approach me about this topic, and they said, well, Stacy, you know, dogs are pretty good animals. And yes, dogs are good animals. And I'm not saying that it's literally a dog, but in this text, it's talking about the religious busybodies and meddlers and false prophets and false teachers and evil workers. So God, the Apostle Paul, refers to these people as dogs. He said, beware of the dogs and beware of the evil workers. So once we get a better understanding of good character versus bad character, then it can help us to avoid being hoodwinked by the enemy, because many people are taken advantage of, and it really bothers me. And it's time for us to really grow in God's word and take heed to the warnings that are provided to us, and to do everything that we can to protect ourselves. And it's also an opportunity for us to grow in character, because everything that we're going to talk about tonight, if you recognize anything that's standing out to you, then that's personal, and that's between you and God. But it's an also to go in a little further and say, God, Stacy was talking about this particular character, and I believe, you know, I experience that sometimes, or I display behavior like that sometimes, and I want to repent because I don't want to act like that. And God will totally forgive you and help you to overcome it. So I want everyone to really have an open mind, an open heart, think outside of the box. This is, my Bible studies are very non-traditional. I ask God to give me a very unique and dynamic way to share the gospel in non-traditional ways. And for those of you that saw the picture that I used for the advertisement, it had the picture of a dog. Actually, it was me, and I had the ears and the nose in the face of a dog, which represents one of my newest clowns that I use to bring a little humor and share in the word of God. So let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, thanking you and praising you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this Thursday night Bible study. We thank you, Father, for the theme, Who Let the Dogs Out? And we thank you for teaching us about moral character. We thank you for teaching us about virtues and walking in integrity, honor, love, and respect. Father, some people are really afraid of loving you, and they are afraid of drawing closer to you, not because of you, but because they have been hurt by people that say that they love you, but the character that they have displayed to the people that they have wounded was the opposite of love, which is hate. Therefore, you were misrepresented by the actions of a person that lacked proper understanding of your love, your virtues, your characteristics, and moral dispositions, that enables us to treat people with love, with dignity, and respect. So, Father, you know better than I that hurt people, and that healed people help hurt people get healed. And I'm asking you tonight to help the wounded healers to arise and share their testimonies, because our brethren need to be strengthened. Too many people are sitting on their testimonies. Too many people are afraid to open up their mouth and tell about the goodness of the Lord and what you have done for them. And Father, your word tells us that you have brought us out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And we thank you for your light that is shining bright in the hearts and minds of your people. And so we ask in the name of Jesus that you will teach us how to pray about this subject, who let the dogs out. We ask that you will teach us how to pray about this moral character and representing you correctly instead of representing you incorrectly and hurting people. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will help those that are walking around tormented and afraid to open up to you, a loving father that only wants what is best for your children. Because of the actions of evil workers, people operating under falsehood, dogs, meddlers, busybodies, religious people, people operating in the spirit of elitism, thinking that they right when they are wrong. And God, there are so many things that are just happening where people are getting hurt in the process. And that's why this message is important to me tonight. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, as a loving father, only wants what is best for your children, to stand, to arise, and let your enemies be scattered. And everyone that has been afraid to open up to you because of the mistreatment of these dogs, of these religious busybodies, of these meddlers, of these false prophets and false teachers, we pray that you would release the power of the blood of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you would release your miracle healing power, and that you will open up our hearts, you will open up our minds, and that you will activate your word in our hearts tonight. According to your word in John 4, verse 17 and 19, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." So, Father, we ask that you would lace this Bible study, that you would cover this microphone, that you would cover the couch, that you would cover all of us with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, that you would just dip us, soak us, saturate us with the blood of Jesus, and saturate us with your love, because your love covers a multitude of sins. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we give God the glory for the opportunity to share the word of God tonight. And if you are following along, I'm going to ask you to turn to your Bibles in Philippians, the first chapter and the third verse. In the first verse of Philippians, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." My message tonight, the Bible study, is entitled, "Who Let the Dogs Out?" And the more that I meditated on these warnings from God, the more I asked him to speak to me about this topic. And one of the questions was, what are the characteristics of a dog? And what does a dog do? So the Apostle Paul, he warns us to beware of dogs. And the first, when I just read those first three verses, I read in the King James Version. And now I want to read the second verse, but I want to read it in the Amplified Version, because it gives us a better understanding of what the Apostle Paul is saying to us. So he said, "Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. They're all interested in appearances, knife-happy circumcisers, I call them." So when I read that definition, I said, okay, God, I see that a dog, from a biblical perspective, is a religious busybody. And a busybody is a meddler. A meddler is a person that loves to meddle in other people's business. Now, many dogs, they love to bark. Some dogs will just bark, bark, bark. They don't intend to bite you. The purpose of the bark is to instill fear. If the enemy can instill fear, he wins, because he's going to stop you from whatever. If you was walking down the street and the dog come and start barking, guess what? You're going to stop. And your first reaction is to back up or to cross the street. But the direction that you was heading in, you're going to stop. You're not going to move forward. So the spirit of fear assignment is to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to stop you from doing what you were trying to do. So I want you to think about that in the context of a religious busybody. And you have to stop and say, well, what is a busybody? And a busybody, like I said earlier, is a meddling person that loves to meddle in other people's business. A busybody is a troublemaker, a gossiper, a scandalmonger, an intruder. A busybody is a person that loves to stir up trouble. So the Apostle Paul is telling us to beware of dogs, to beware of evil workers, and to beware of the concision. So when we talk about the concision, in the Old Testament, you know, the people were supposed to get circumcised. And so the religious leaders were big on that. And it's more than just cutting your flesh. God is looking at our hearts. What is the condition of your heart? Do you have a black heart? Do you have a red or a pink heart, a healthy heart? Do you have a sick heart? Do you have a wounded heart? Do you have a stitched heart? You got stitched in your heart. What is the condition of your heart? The condition of your heart is important, because if you have a healthy heart, you are going to walk in love, you're going to display love, and you're going to want the best for all people. You're not going to be a selfish person, and you really just want to do what God wants you to do with living and walking harmoniously with those people that you come in contact with, whether you like them or not, whether you're different than them. Your goal is to just share love, walk in love, and be happy. And the opposite of that, the opposite of love, is hatred. When you are filled with hatred, resentment, and bitterness, it shows in your behavior. And this is why I said we're going to share Nehemiah, the third chapter. And we're going to go there in a minute. But when we're dealing with a religious busybody, a busybody is someone that is meddlesome and they're unhappy. There is a lot of things that's going wrong in their lives underneath the surface. And from an honest perspective, when you see someone and they're being really nasty to you, or they're cutting you off, or they're just really difficult to get along with, your first reaction, I know my first reaction, and this is past tense, used to be, oh, I don't even want to have nothing to do with them, you know, because all I felt was that negative energy. But as I began to mature in the word of God and in my relationship with God as an intercessor, God was like, you can't be like that. That's being a little bit harsh. And I was like, okay, God, well, show me what you want me to do. And that's when he started letting me know you'd have to pray for people, because sometimes people are displaying behavior that's not true to their nature. And they're operating in a spirit of error because of whatever it is that's going on in the inside of them. And what they're not dealing with in a healthy way, they're displaying that negative behavior out of that unhealthy place. So I had to learn how to look beyond that person's faults and see their needs. And if it made me feel a certain way, then I would go to God and I would say, God, this person says such and such, it really made me mad, and this is how I feel right now. And so God will help you work through that. And the reason I'm taking the time to break that down is because hurt people hurt people. Even when people hurt us, sometimes their own hurt and they don't know any better. And sometimes they do. But the key is for us to take the high road and to forgive them and to pray for them if we can. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes you can't pray for people right in that moment, but you could take a moment. I love to use the example of the firefighters when, you know, you were little and you was learning about a fire drill. They would often say, well, if there's a fire, you want to stop, drop, and you want to roll. You want to stay down low. And I like to say stop, drop, and pray, or stop, drop, and be quiet. Don't speak in that moment of frustration. Because if you speak out of your frustration, your words are not going to be loving and kind. Your words are going to be harsh, and your words is probably going to taunt or is going to provoke someone, which is another definition of a busybody. Busybodies love to mock. They love to slander. They love to provoke. And sometimes they can be very antagonistic. They love to cause trouble, especially when there is peace. And this is going to lead us into Philippians, the third chapter. Now, this is an opportunity for everyone. If you have any questions, please write your questions down, because we are going to have a Q&A session where you'll be able to answer your questions, and I'll open up the mics and everybody, we could kind of participate and open this up of the Bible study so that we can all share. So having shared everything that I shared thus far, there's a man in the Bible. His name is Haman. Haman was a leader under King Xerxes that had great power and authority. His story is told in the third chapter of Esther in the Old Testament. And we are going to turn to the third chapter of Esther, and I'm going to read the first six verses, and then that's going to take us right back into the Bible study. And keep in mind, we're talking about character, we're talking about walking in integrity, and we're paying attention to the words. Let's go back to Philippians, the third chapter, and verse 2 for a moment, because Paul gives us clear instructions. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. And we want to make sure that we take heed to this message, and I'm going to tell you why. I did a brief study on this on Facebook the other night, and Facebook blessed my, they deleted my message because I played the song Who Let the Dogs Out, and it was a violation of the copyright. Anyway, I said, that's okay. I'll just do this Bible study here on the radio, because the attack that came up against me while I was doing it on Facebook, it was great. I experienced a lot of interference. So before I go any further, many of you that have gathered here tonight, and those of you that may listen to this at a later time, God is about to do something really wonderful in your life. So I want you to bookmark Isaiah, the 54th chapter, because in verse 2, it talks about enlargement. And I'm just going to read that real quick. And thank you so much for your patience. So Isaiah, the 54th chapter, in verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Verse 3 says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And verse 4 says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. So this verse is talking about a promotion, and it's talking about enlargement. It's talking about increase. So whatever you've been going through, whatever test that you have passed, and even the things that you didn't pass, God is pleased with you, and God said it's your time to receive the opening of the spiritual rivers in the desert. And that's Isaiah 43 and verse 19. He said, I will make spiritual rivers in the desert. And that means spiritual abundance, spiritual supplies, super abundance, like everything that you need. God is going to supply every need. But in this enlargement, in this place that God is bringing you to, because God is bringing us to our wealthy place, does that mean that it's all going to be about money? No. Is money going to be a part of it? Yes. But with God bringing us to our wealthy place, God is bringing us to that place that he has prepared for us. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what things? Well, all of the things that God has called you to do for him. If he has called you to ministry, get ready to do ministry. If he called you to evangelism, get ready to evangelize. If he called you to be a missionary, then pack your suitcase and get ready to go overseas or wherever God is going to send you. Some people are going to be missionaries right here in the United States of America. But the point is, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whatever your dream is, whatever your vision is, God is saying, stretch forth the curtains of your habitations and spare not. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. So wherever you are right now, and if it's just a small place, God is saying, listen, that is not big enough. I want you to stretch your curtains. And the reason that I'm taking the time to explain this is because the evil workers and the dogs, they are watching you. They don't know everything about you, but they are watching you, and they sense that God is about to do something wonderful in your life, and they don't want it to happen. And they want to stop you. They want to block you. And I said earlier that the spirit of fear comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because the moment we back up in fear, so let's go back to Isaiah 54 and verse 2. If you are enlarging the place of your tent, right, and now you're stretching your curtains, you're thinking outside of the box, you're thinking bigger, oh, yes, I could conquer the land. I'm going to be strong and of good courage. Every place that my feet tread upon, it belongs to me because God said so. So now you're speaking God's word into your situation, and you're doing what God told you that you could do. But the spirit of fear comes, and if you don't stand on the word of God, you will back up. But if you're not prepared for the warning that the Apostle Paul gave in Philippians, then that dog, that religious meddler, that religious busybody, that evil worker, guess what? They're going to back you up. They're going to stop you from enlarging your tent. They're going to stop you from stretching your curtains. They're going to stop you from sparing not and lengthening your cords. So this is not the time to get distracted. This is not the time to back up and be backed up into a corner. We know about the song about God being a way maker and a song when my back was against the wall and it looked as if it was over. No, we are going to come out fighting with the word of God, with the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what are some of the strongholds in your life? And whatever those strongholds are, if it's dealing directly with your character, then God wants to deal with that stronghold because it's affecting your character, it's affecting your words, it's affecting how you think and feel about yourself. And this may hinder your ability to beware of the dogs, of the evil workers. Because when you're vulnerable, you're more susceptible to falling to the tricks of the enemy. So the purpose of this Bible study tonight is to show you examples in the Word of God of the good character and the bad character of evil workers that are on an assignment to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And all of this is going to make sense in a moment. Please go with me to the book of Esther and the third chapter. Then I have a couple of points, a couple of things that I'm going to break down, and then I'm going to contrast some things pertaining to the third chapter. So one moment while I get to my page. So in beginning at Esther, the third chapter, if everyone is there, we're going to start at verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, that cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they must be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. So we thank God for the reading of his word. And I want to go straight to the first verse, because now I know I'm going back and forth, but I hope that you're taking notes, because when I said in Isaiah 54 and verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy hands of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cord, and strengthen thy stakes. Well, I said that, and I also said many of you are about to be promoted. Many of you are about to be elevated. God is bringing you to your wealthy place. God is making all things new. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, the new thing that is springing forth. So all of the things that you have been preparing for up until this point is finally manifesting. But I encourage you to be very, very careful about your attitude and about the character that you have. Because with this promotion, do you have enough character to sustain you in this new place of elevation? We're going to make sense of that as we look at the characteristics of Haman. Because the first verse, it tells us that King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. And not only did he promote Haman, he gave a command that everybody should bow down and reverence Haman. But everybody in the whole province bowed down to him except for Mordecai. Mordecai refused to bow down to him. So I want to go back for a moment to what we said, not what we said, what Apostle Paul said about a busybody. And he said that a busybody was, what a dog is. Beware of the dogs. Remember when I read it from an amplified version. He said, steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. They're all interested in appearances, nice, happy circumcisers. So let's look at this text a little closer. Because Haman, he was pleased that everybody was bowing down to him. They was reverencing him. They was honoring him. And really, they were celebrating his promotion. And when you get your promotion, when your day comes, guess what? I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to say hallelujah. God, I thank you for what you have done in their lives because I'm genuinely happy for you. I'm happy to see you grow in God. I'm happy to see you get to that place in him where now he could use you on a higher level to reach people to do his will. So here we have Haman that is in this position with great authority, and everybody bowed down to him except Mordecai. So Mordecai refused to bow down to him because he chose to only bow down to God. And as a result, this placed him in hot water. And the king's servants, they are the busybodies here. Verse 3, it says, the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now, I want to ask a question here. Were they wrong or were they right or was it okay for them to ask Mordecai this question? And I'm going to say for the very first time to ask him that one time, I'm going to say it was okay. Because the king did give the command. In verse 2, it says, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded it. So there were consequences for disobeying the king. But because Mordecai, his character, his love, his obedience, his loyalty, his dedication was to God, he wasn't going to bow down to a man. And whatever the price was that he had to pay, he was willing to pay the price. Do you have that kind of character today? So here we have verse 3, the king's servants, they go to Mordecai and they ask him a question. It should have been over after that. So in verse 4, they transition into evil workers and displaying the behavior of a religious busybody and a religious meddler. Now it came to pass when they spake daily. They went to Mordecai every day. They was wearing him out. Earlier I said they love to taunt and they love to provoke and they're very antagonistic. Well, let's pause for a moment. Do you know any people that are antagonistic in your life? Who's the people in your life that are taunting you, that keep coming, asking you information, asking you questions day in and day out, and you don't answer them, or you say, I don't want to talk about that. You see them on a different day, and guess what? It's the same question. Did you bow down to the king? Did you? Or they asking you questions about your business, about your ministry, about your husband, about your children. And these are things that you really don't want to talk about, but they just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, because they met. They busybodies, and you have to stop and ask yourself, well, why are they bothering me so much? Why do they want this information? What are they going to do with information? So the king's servants, they provoke Mordecai every day, and they went to Haman, and I'm just going to say this in layman terms, okay? Hey, Haman, did you notice that Mordecai didn't bow down to you? You're going to let him get away with that? See, we're talking about busybodies. We're talking about meddlers. We're talking about troublemakers. You know, when you was in school or you got that family member or you got somebody in your church, they always come starting trouble. Well, they went to Haman and they said, are you really going to let him get away with that? You do realize that he didn't reverence you. He didn't honor you. He didn't join the celebration. And we're in verse 5. And so when Haman realized that Mordecai didn't bow down to him, you see, prior to this, and I really want you to pay attention, because Haman could care less that Mordecai didn't bow down to him. He was happy that everybody else did bow down to him. He's moving on. He's doing his new job, you know, and he was okay until the busybodies came. He was okay until the evil workers came. He was okay until the dogs came. So now verse 5 tells us that Haman was full of wrath. Now, when he was full of wrath, that means that he was angry. That means that he hated Mordecai. And verse 6 tells us that he thought scorn to lay hands on him. So one of the characteristics of an evildoer is to be angry and full of wrath. That's two things, angry and full of wrath. Wrath is a form of anger. When you get upset, you might get mad, right? If you don't deal with it or the person keeps doing stuff, then you get angry. Then you really, really, they keep on doing it, and then the anger turns into resentment. That resentment turns into bitterness. And after that root of bitterness comes up, it's nothing but wrath left. And once you at that wrathful place, you don't care about nothing. All you see is red. All you want to do is hurt somebody. So one of the characteristics of an evildoer, in the beginning, Haman started out, he was cool. He was all right. But now since the meddlers came, see, people that meddle in your business, people that love to gossip, and let's add gossip to that, because they was gossiping. They was picking Mordecai for information so that they could go back to Haman and start trouble. So they're troublemakers and they're gossipers. And all of this is coming out of the scripture. I'm not making this up. Whenever I read the word, I ask God to reveal what he want me to see. What is this story about? What is really going on here? Because this is bigger than just Mordecai getting angry at someone because they won't bow down to him. Well, this is also a pride issue. When Haman got upset with Mordecai, pride rose up. The strong man for the spirit of pride is the spirit of haughtiness. And if you operate in the spirit of haughtiness, guess what? You're going to think that you're better than other people. You're going to be have feelings of superiority. You're going to be arrogant. You're going to be conceited, and you're going to mistreat people. And that's exactly what happened to Haman. Haman was puffed up with pride. Haman said, I'm not going to let this man get away with this. And when it says he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, that means not only did he desire to kill Mordecai, but he wanted to kill Mordecai and all of the Jews because of Mordecai, because Mordecai was Jewish. But what Haman didn't know was that the king's wife was also Jewish, and Mordecai was her uncle, and he told her not to reveal her heritage because that he was using wisdom. So, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. So now we have to say the spirit of genocide. And we keep in mind, we're talking about the warning from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, the third chapter, and now we transition into the third chapter of the book of Esther, and now I'm giving you biblical examples of a dog from a biblical perspective. I'm giving you examples of evil, the behavior and the characteristics of evil workers. And it's all going to make sense in a moment. So I want you to think about what's happening today in this world with racism and with prejudice. There's a lot of people that are full of wrath, just like Haman. And they desire to kill black people. Some of them desire to kill Asian people. Some of them desire to kill Spanish people or people of color. And it's no different than spirit of genocide that we're looking at in this chapter. Haman put a hit out on Mordecai and all of the Jews, all because he refused to bow down to him. If that's not arrogant, I don't know what arrogance is. Why would you want to kill an entire race of people because of something between you and just one person? Well, I want you to mark this as a prayer point, please. When I said the spirit of fear comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The foundational scripture for that is John 10:10. For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So one of the characteristics throughout this text is the spirit of robbery. And the spirit of robbery, going back to Isaiah 54, and to make this personal for you and I, we have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. We have embraced the sufferings of Christ. We have endured the trials, the tests, the tribulations. And God has been perfecting those things concerning us. We've been in the refiner's fire. And so now when God begins to see his reflection in us, he says, you know what? My daughter, my son, they ready to receive their promotion. So we're ready. We're in position. But here comes a modern day Haman. Here come a modern day king servant that is a busybody, a meddler, and a troublemaker that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So key prayer point number one is to dismantle the spirit of robbery. It's a very subtle way to come against you and to come against God's plans for your life. And when a person is taunting you, when a person is mocking you, when a person is laughing at you, just like in the book of Nehemiah, when Tobiah and Sambalot was fighting against Nehemiah because he was building the walls, all they were trying to do was stop him from doing what God called him to do. They wanted to steal his destiny. He was destined to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So in part two, we're going to dig deep into the book of Nehemiah. But for right now, we're going to bring it back into the book of Esther. And I want to contrast the behaviors between a Jew and an Agagite. And the difference here is the contrast between Mordecai versus Haman. And remember, we're talking about character. And one thing that I hope you can learn from this is how to build godly character, how to develop good fruit, how to learning how to recognize bad fruit, learning how to endure through persecution, learning how to persevere. You see, Mordecai, he never defended himself. Mordecai never opened up his mouth. I didn't continue and read the entire chapter, but I encourage you to read the entire chapter because it is so rich with revelation. It is so rich with information. It is so rich with instructions on what we need to do. But later on in that verse, in that chapter, chapter 3, Haman actually slapped Mordecai because Mordecai didn't bow down to him. And you know what? Mordecai endured that slap. He didn't defend himself. He didn't slap him back. So I hope that we learn how to be a humble servant and trust God. Now, I can't say if somebody come and slap me right now that I'm going to be like Mordecai. I don't know. That's my goal. You know, Jesus turned the other cheek. Ultimately, we supposed to follow Jesus' example. But if you're not there, God understands. But ultimately, that should be our goal. You see, Mordecai displayed excellent character. Mordecai displayed the fruit of the Spirit. Haman displayed the works of the flesh. So evil workers operate in the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh are recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 18 through 21. And I'm going to say that again for those of you that are taking notes. The works of the flesh are recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 18 to verse 21. The fruit of the Spirit is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 21 and 22. And I will go there in a moment. But I want you to understand the contrast of character. The works of the flesh equals bad character. The fruit of the Spirit equals good character. So when the Apostle Paul is telling us in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, to beware of the dogs, he is telling us beware of those people that display bad character. Beware of those individuals that are evil workers and they taunt you, they provoke you, they mock you, they laugh at you, they gossip and they slander because these are signs of a dog. These are signs of a religious busybody that loves to meddle in other people's business. So one of the things that I hope we learn through this lesson tonight is how to represent God with a, you see, Mordecai, he had a wonderful opportunity to get all caught up in his emotions and lay those two king's guards out, but he didn't. Even when Haman got mad with him, he had an opportunity to defend himself, but he was quiet. Psalms 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So one of the reasons we're doing this Bible study is so that we can learn practical application of God's word. As we look at the characteristics of Haman and Mordecai, where do you see yourself? And this is an honest question, excuse me, that requires an honest assessment. Where do you see yourself when you look at the characteristics of Haman and Mordecai? And this is not a fault-finding or a condemning moment, because this is a no-judgment zone. We don't judge people here. All we do is love on you. If you choose to share anything during the Q&A time, then, hey, we just going to flow with you and we're going to love on you, but we're not going to condemn you and we certainly are not going to ostracize you. But the question is being presented for accountability. It is time for us to grow into spiritual maturity. It is time for us to learn how to look at ourselves, get the beam out of our own eye, mind our business, get right with God. So if you see any of the characteristics of Haman in yourself, then just repent and go to God and ask him to help you get over it. But if you see the characteristics of Mordecai, still go to God and say, God, I see these characteristics in me. How do I make it stronger? Because I want to mature in those characteristics. I want to develop and cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in my life so that when you promote me, the character that I have is going to sustain me, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to represent you with a spirit of excellence. I'm not going to put a hit out on people because they won't bow down to me. And that's the difference between Haman and Mordecai. So my objective in sharing these comparisons that I'm getting ready to get to is to provide enough topic-related scripture references so that you can see how the people, the Bible characters, live their lives, and so that we can see the examples between Haman and Mordecai. So let's look at the first example. And all of the scriptures are coming from the book of Esther. So we're contrasting the characteristics of Mordecai versus Haman. So Mordecai was a Jew, and he gave Esther good advice. Esther, the second chapter, verse 10 and verse 20. Esther, the fourth chapter, verse 12 and 14. So Haman, who is an Agagite, in the book of Esther, the fifth chapter, in verse 14, he accepts bad advice from his wife and friends. And really, to understand all of the contrast of the characters, their characteristics that I'm sharing now, I encourage you to read through the entire book of Esther. It's not a very long chapter, and it's you know, we all know about Esther and how she went before the king, but there is so much information in there, and I don't have time tonight to, like, get into all of it, but I do want to get through the different contrasts with these two people, Mordecai and Haman, because they display, not they, Haman displays classic signs of an evil worker. And when we can recognize these signs, it's easy for us to guard our hearts and to be protected, because God has given us Luke 10:19. God has given us power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So when Haman was full of wrath and he rose up against Mordecai was spiritually mature, so he recognized the attack that was coming up against him, and he chose to rely on God to defend him. So in moments like that, we have to remember, stop, drop, and pray, or stop, drop, and be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. And while you're being still, you could call on God. You could say, God, this man is coming up against me, and they are, you know, confrontational. I feel like an argument about to kick off. I really don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. Will you handle this situation for me? And then remind God of his promises, because God said, I am a present help in the time of trouble. God said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. So when trouble comes, give God back his word. And if you have to pick up your Bible or pick up your tablet or pick up your phone, don't be embarrassed or ashamed to do so if you don't know the scripture. But open up that Bible and speak God's word. Because when when Satan came to tempt Jesus, look, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is not our words that the enemy is going to listen to, but the enemy going to listen to the word of God. Even when we speak God's word, the angels must hearken to the word. So here we see the difference of giving good advice and bad advice. So Haman, Mordecai, he refused to bow down to Haman and to honor him. And the contrast of that is Mordecai, Haman. No, I'm sorry. Mordecai would not bow down to him, and as a result, he got angry. So how do you feel Haman should have handled that? Even when the troublemakers, when the busybodies came, as a leader, and this is important for all of the leaders that are listening and all of the leaders that God is raising up in this hour, as a leader, is it right to get angry with those under your leadership? And if you get angry with them, is it okay for you to put a hit out on their lives, to kill them and to take out their entire family, or to take out, if it was a white person or a black person, and you just going to take out the entire race just like he did? If you are a spiritual leader, is it okay for you to do that? Is it okay for you to abuse your power and your authority? And I'm asking these questions this way because, again, you're about to receive your promotion. You're about to lead other people. So when you enter into this leadership position, how are you going to lead the people? Are you going to have a humble, meek, and lowly spirit? Or are you going to be puffed up with pride? Are you going to operate in a spirit of haughtiness? Haman was very haughty, and he rose up against Mordecai. Not for his own reasons, he rose up against Mordecai because of pride, because he felt superior to him, because he felt disrespected by him, and because he did not bow down to him. He chose to be angry. Everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice tonight, we all have a choice to be angry and not to be angry. Now, it's okay to be angry. Ephesians 4:24, it says, be angry and sin not. So if you're angry, then acknowledge that you're angry, but don't sin in your anger. When I get angry, I used to just blow up, and God had to really deal with me because I would say whatever came out of my mouth, and then I would cry. And sometimes my tears was worse than me saying anything that came out of my mouth, because if I get mad enough and you make me cry, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm talking past tense. Now I've learned how to stop, drop, and pray. And I'm not saying that I have perfected it, but I am trying to develop the fruit of the spirit that is called self-control. So I want you to beware. Remember in the beginning in Philippians, the third chapter in verse 2, Paul, the apostle Paul said, beware of dogs and evil workers. So I'm going to go through these 5 points again. I want you to beware. Haman operated in the spirit of pride, and he felt superior. So beware of the spirit of pride. Every day you should do a heart check. You should ask God, God, help me to identify the status of my heart today. Because every day your heart is not in the right place. Some days our mind is not in the right place. And as we go to God and we talk to him about these things, he can show us. And sometimes we know what it is because different things happen and it affects our heart. It affects our mind. But if you start doing a heart check every day, you will start growing in leaps and bounds, and you'll find that things won't bother you so much because you will identify what irritated you or hurt you. You're going to talk to God about it. God is going to give you a scripture, or he's going to give you a prescription to tell you how to deal with it. So the 5 points that I want you to beware of is the spirit of pride, feelings of superiority, disrespecting other people, and not bowing down to idols. Do not bow down to idols. Do not bow down to men. Do not bow down to your car. Do not bow down to your husband. Do not bow down to your wife. God don't want us bowing down to other people, places, and things. So be careful of what you are worshiping, and be careful of who you are worshiping, because we are to worship God. So be mindful of those times when you get angry, because all of these things cause Haman to operate in the spirit of era, where he ended up putting a hit out on God's people. And the end result of that was Haman died in their place instead of Mordecai and the Jews dying in his, which brings us back to Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. So as we look at why Haman was angry at Mordecai, I want to just review the promotion part for a moment, because after receiving his promotion from the king released a command that everyone should reverence Haman, but Mordecai refused to reverence him. He refused to honor him. He refused to bow down to him. And because Haman stood on the word of God, Haman got mad at him. So Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you." Now, to really understand what happened in the story with Haman and Mordecai, you really have to go to the first chapter and just read all the way through. But in verse 1, we learned that Haman was promoted. And I'm repeating this because you are about to be promoted. Some of you have already been promoted, and God wants us to get this right. The Apostle Paul said, "Beware of the dog." We don't want to end up in that category where we are evil workers. We don't want to end up in that character when we displaying behavior that is not true to our nature, and we will misrepresent God. In the beginning of the Bible study, I opened up with a prayer, and the prayer was about character, and it was about, you know, moral character and disposition. We must be mindful of the character that we have, the character that we operate in. And if you are flawed, guess what? You're still worthy, because we all fall short of the glory of God. We must be willing to correct those things that are wrong so that we can get right. And real quick, I want to go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, so that we can see the contrast of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And then I'm going to open up the lines for our Q&A session. And thank you so much for joining me tonight. So Galatians, the 5th chapter, I really want to highlight earlier I said verse 18, but the works of the flesh starts at verse 19 to 21, and then the fruit of the spirit is in verses 22 to 26. So now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So all of those are the works of the flesh. So people that display this characteristic, they are operating in the works of the flesh. So that means they just need our prayers. And if we fall in any of those categories, then we need to pray for one another, because none of us are exempt. All a work in progress. And we have to be honest with where we are, and we go to God in prayer and tell him where we are and ask for his help. So the works of the flesh I meant the fruit of the Spirit is in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So another word for temperance is self-control. So when Haman got all bent out of shape because of idolatry, he wanted Mordecai, and idolatry is listed in the works of the flesh. You see, he was operating in his flesh. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be lifted up, but not until the busybodies came. So from today forward, I want you to think about the operations of a busybody, what they do, and the damage that they cause, because they cause division and they cause separation. And they sow seeds of discord and dissension. And Haman, operating in the works of the flesh, he got mad at Mordecai, who was displaying temperance, because he exhibited self-control. He loved God more than he wanted to bow down and worship a man, a human being. So that's why I wanted to share Galatians, the fifth chapter, real quick. So just a recap for the scriptures that we went over tonight. We opened up with Philippians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. We shared Esther, the third chapter, verses 1 through 9. We shared Isaiah 54, verse 17. And just now, Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 18 through 26. So I'm going to open up the lines right now. And if you have a question or if you have a comment about tonight's Bible study, please press 1. And if you don't have any questions, then I am going to share that we will be gathering together every Thursday at 8 p.m. for Bible study. And part 2 of Who Let the Dogs Out, we're going to explore, we're going to go in a little deeper with the characteristics of evil workers from a biblical perspective. My goal is to help us to grow, 1, into spiritual maturity, 2, to grow in our prayer life as intercessors. And we have to be mindful of the things that we're dealing with as we pray for ourselves, and then we have to be mindful as we stand in the gap and we pray for other people. One of the very, very important is how we represent God. And in a position of authority, when we get promoted and we get into this leadership position, it's very important that we are spirit-led, spirit-controlled, and spirit-governed at all times. Now, is that possible? Are we in the spirit 24/7? No, we're not. But one thing that we can do, and I encourage you, when you wake up in the morning, whatever way you greet God and talk to God, continue to do that. But if I was you, I would say, God, I commit this day into your hands. First, I thank you for letting me wake up to see another day. I commit this day into your hands. I want to be controlled by your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to walk in the Spirit today. I don't want to operate in my flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. Release a fresh anointing upon me. Give me wisdom knowledge, revelation knowledge, and understanding of every situation that I will face today, because I want to honor you. I don't want to dishonor you. I don't want to be caught up in my flesh. I don't want to respond to my emotions. I learned a lot tonight through this Bible study with Stacy, as she was breaking down the different characteristics of a busybody, of an evil worker, of a dog from a biblical perspective. And God, I want to work on some areas. So So that's why I'm coming to you. And that's just an example, a very short example of how you can ask God for his assistance. So Mordecai's decision pleased God, and God kept him through the persecution that came because of Haman's hatred, his jealousy, his insecurity, and stubborn, prideful, self-seeking, self-centered attitude and treacherous motives against Mordecai. So that was the last thing that I wanted to share. And those are also, and I'll say them again, but some of the characteristics that Mordecai, that Haman displayed towards Mordecai was hatred, it was jealousy, it was insecurities, and it was stubborn pride. There are different levels of pride. Pride, again, falls under the spirit of haughtiness, but stubborn pride. And I mean, most people that have pride, they're stubborn. They don't want to change their ways. If they did something wrong, they don't want to say that they're stuck. They're sorry. But there is also a thing known as the pride of knowledge. Sometimes people are very intelligent, very intellectual. They know a lot about certain topics and can't nobody tell them anything. They know it all. Well, we have to beware of all forms of pride because pride will sneak in on us and it'll bam, hit us right in the face. But beware of self-seeking and also self-exaltation. Beware of being self-centered. And beware of having a bad attitude and having treacherous motives. Haman's motives were not pure towards Mordecai. And as a result, he wanted to wipe out an entire race of people. So Esther, the third chapter in verse 5, I just want to touch base on that. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Again, I'm highlighting that because somebody is going to come to you and they're going to bring gossip to you. They're going to slander somebody. They're going to talk about somebody and they're going to try and get you to be full of wrath against that person. And I'm telling you, do not do it. I don't care what they say. It may be true. It may be false, but don't fall for the entrapment. The enemy is trying to entrap you so that you will fall. So wrath is having great anger. It's divine retribution sometimes. And whenever people do stuff against us, you know, God says vengeance belongs to me. And he can deal with somebody way better than we can. So don't take matters into your own hands. Don't try and inflict pain on somebody else. When I opened up with prayer, I said, God, hurt people, but healed people help hurt people get healed. And it is my prayer that whatever you walk away with tonight, that you have a new understanding of how to pray for our leaders and how to pray for our good leaders and for our bad leaders that have gone astray. Because a lot of times they don't know what they are doing, and sometimes they do. But they get deceived and they get duped just like we do. And when this happens, a lot of times we like to write them off and we like to talk about them. We like to gossip about them. But God wants us to forgive them, to release them, and to restore them. Because a lot of these spiritual leaders that have fallen short of the glory of God, God wants them back. So we want to pray for everyone, and my name is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And if you have a question or a comment, I'm just going to give an opportunity again. Please press 1 on your phone, and I will open up your mic. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, I thank you so much for joining me. Next Thursday, we will be coming back with part 2. In part 2, I'm going to recap from today, and then I'm going to provide key prayer points to dismantle some of the characteristics that we learned about tonight. And one of the biggest things that is standing out to me is the spirit of genocide, because it's real and it's still happening today. Haman wanted to kill a whole group of people because one person refused to bow down to him. And all throughout the land, all throughout this world, people are hating on other people. And we do have a caller with the last four numbers, 3324.
Hi, Stacey. It's Josh. Just wanted to
say hello. Hi, Josh. How are you?
And I am well. I didn't get to listen to everything you said tonight. Unfortunately, I joined in late. But I just wanted to say that I am excited to listen to next Thursday and hear that recap, because a lot of what you said at the end, I think, is very applicable to the world today and especially to me personally. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm glad to hear that what you did hear made a difference to you, because that's one of the things that I really want us, like when we gather, not just to look at us, but to look outside of the box, outside of the church and at the world, because we're called to pray and we can make a difference. And God is really, really listening to our prayers. So thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you for listening. And do we have any other callers that have a comment or a question, or does anyone have a prayer request? For those of you that are listening via the internet, we thank you for joining us tonight. If you have any questions that you wrote on the board, I will definitely get back to you and respond to your questions or your comments. I'm very, very grateful for this topic, Who Let the Dogs Out. And I do want to highlight that for a moment. I didn't get a chance to play the song. And a lot of times people get offended about that song, and I just want to give a little bit of history about the song, because the song is really promoting positive behavior towards women. In the beginning of the song, the it's almost like the guys was making these comments to the women, and so in negative comments. You know, like when a guy is trying to, he may whistle at a girl versus taking the time. Hello, my name is Charles. May I would like to get to know you. You know, just being kind. That was a little corny, but that's a good example. And versus whistling at her or saying, hey, baby. So in the song, the guys were saying these negative phrases. And in response, the ladies were saying, who let the dogs out? In other words, they were saying, don't talk to me like that, because I'm more honorable. I love myself. I respect myself. And I'm paraphrasing. So the reason I wanted to use that song and even highlight on the real meaning of the song, because so many people interpret the song a different way. And if we look at the warning that the Apostle Paul gave us in Philippians, the third chapter, he said, beware of the dog. And beware of the evildoers. So think about what I just said. These men are purposely saying things, derogatory things, unpleasant things, negative things to these women. And in response, they're saying, who let the dogs out? So if Apostle Paul is telling us, beware of the dogs, then my question as we close, who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out on you? Now, we're talking about from a biblical perspective. So the enemy is now not just a male, because it can be a male or a female, okay? But when we're looking at evil workers, they're out to destroy all of God's children, and they don't care if it's male or female, but they are going to speak derogatory things to you. They are going to speak false doctrine to you. They are going to do their best to seduce you into believing that what they're saying is true and that it is pure. And it's no different than the guys in that song saying all of the sweet words, you know, laced with butter, oh, smooth talking. I'm going to get that girl today. But no, God wants us to be prepared. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So we must be completely dressed with the armor of God, and we must really study to show ourselves approved unto God. So in your own time, I want you to read over Philippians, the third chapter. We only read the first three verses, and we're not done with the first three verses, because today I really highlighted just verse 2 because I was focusing more on the warning. But to go back to what I said in the beginning, many of you are you just got promoted or you're about to get promoted, and the enemy is waiting to get you off track. But in your new leadership position, I want to challenge you, what kind of leader are you going to be? Are you going to be puffed up with pride like Haman, or are you going to be humble with a meek and lowly spirit like Mordecai? Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your word tonight. We thank you for those that took the time to participate with the Bible study, those that listened, those that took notes. I pray right now, oh God, that you would remove scales from blinded eyes. And as you remove these scales, I thank you for opening up their understanding. I pray, oh God, that you would release spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As you release understanding, I thank you for dismantling. I thank you for uprooting and destroying everything that they was believing incorrectly because of a misunderstanding or just being taught something wrong. Father, one of the things we want to tear down tonight is the spirit of pride, because Haman was operating in the spirit of pride. Pride is the negative characteristics that will cause separation from you, where we'll start depending on ourselves and we get too big for our britches and we think that we no longer need you. And we begin to operate in the spirit of error. And as we operate in the spirit of error, everything that we do and everything that we say is going to be wrong, and we're going to misrepresent you. So we renounce the spirit of pride, and we ask that if there's a spirit of pride, arrogance, or haughtiness that is hiding anywhere inside of us, we ask that you would reveal it to us. We pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that as we apply your word, Matthew 18:18, that says if we bind, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we bind the spirit of haughtiness, and that takes care of the spirit of pride, arrogance, and feelings of superiority, feelings of thinking we're better than other people. And we lose the spirit of humility. We lose the fruit of the spirit. We thank you for developing character within us through the trials and tribulations that we go through. Father, we rely on you. We trust you. We're dependent on you. And we ask that you continue to keep us and protect us from all harm and danger. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. So God bless everyone. Have a wonderful night. And another caller is here. If anyone have any questions, this is the last call before I go, because we're about to close out. So God bless everyone and have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.